If you need a new roof or a repair, Easton Roofing will take care of you. Estimates are always free and suggestions are built on integrity. Visit EastonRoofing.com for more information. Get back to business faster with Easton Roofing. Easton Roofing. Integrity matters.
Sports Radio 810 WHB, the Interurban Lofts proudly present The Border Patrol with Stephen St. John and Nate Buchanan.
Good morning, my neighbors!
It's showtime!
No, I'm just excited for the season to start. You know, it's a long 6, 7, 8 weeks of spring training and got out of there fairly healthy and, you know, accomplished some things that we wanted to accomplish and got to know the new coaching staff and the players and building some camaraderie, and now we're ready to go.
I think it's a really exciting day for the franchise, for the organization, for this team. I spent a time in surprise. I feel like the changes we made at the end of last season are yielding fruit. The culture that Q and his team and JJ have established, I think the energy and surprise was palpable.
We were going over to play, I think it was the Padres, and I called a couple of those guys, Massey and Vinny, and that were... Yeah, I said, hey, you probably don't have much doubt, but I just want to congratulate you. You're making the roster. And Vinny said, oh, man, you scared the crap out of me. He called me in here. And I said, do you think I was going to release you or send you down like 30 seconds before the game starts? And then later we got out to the dugout, and Massey said, I don't know where you got that. There was never a doubt thing in my mind, you know, like something like that. But, you know, some of the ones I wasn't expecting, too, was Duffy was really happy. You know, Fran Mill gave me a huge hug, which is, as you can imagine, a pretty impressive thing. Yeah, yeah. But some of, even the veteran guys, you know, and that shows the kind of people they are. They're not taking this for granted, you know. Even Zach gave me a big smile and a handshake when he told him he was going to be the opening day starter.
Kansas City, this is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. It's Thursday, March 30th, 2023. It's opening day. Oh boy. Here we go. After a workout yesterday at Kauffman Stadium, the Royals are ready to roll for the 2023 season. With not a whole lot of expectations, but hey, here we are. Everyone can be optimistic on opening day. So if you're going out there, have a great time. Be safe. You know, that could opening day can be amateur hour sometimes for some overzealous fans. So be careful. Take care of each other, all right? Call your mother for me. Do something. But enjoy opening day. As you heard Matt Quatrero say that Zach Greinke will be the opening day starter. So who knows? Maybe, probably, you would think, the last time Zach Greinke will start an opening day for the Royals. But first pitch 3:10 p.m. between the Royals and the Twins. You went out there yesterday to the workout. What was the crowd like?
It was good. It was a good crowd. I don't know what to compare it to. I don't know. I wouldn't be able to guess exactly how many people, but it was a good crowd. It was a beautiful day.
What would your guess be for how many people were out there?
I'd say a few thousand. Uh-huh. I don't know. But it was good. The energy was good, and everybody seemed to be having a really good time. It was fun to get to. I got to talk to Dr. Daniel Mack face-to-face for a while after we had him on the show yesterday.
What'd he say?
I was very upset that Marco hung up on him at the end of the segment, end of the show. Marco was out there with me, you know, checking the place out, getting the lay of the land a little bit. So we got to he got to meet J.J. Piccolo and Matt Quatrero and Scott Sharp and a bunch of the guys from the Royals. So that was good. We did some interviews. I spoke to your guy, Michael Massey. I spoke to our guy, Nate Eaton. And I spoke to, I guess, my guy, Chris Bubich. So we can play all those interviews today. But it was very, it was a very upbeat, you know, happy occasion. Everybody seemed very, very excited to get the season started. And the weather was, it was beautiful out yesterday.
Any other takeaways? Anything that surprised you? Anything that you liked besides that? Anything in particular that you heard? Anything that gave you hope?
The thing is, I guess I would just say that I know it's the beginning of the season, and usually people are optimistic and hopeful at the beginning of the season, but there's a different vibe to this team for sure than what there was last year. The leadership's different on the team in terms of the clubhouse voices. The leadership's different from the coaching standpoint. The players, I just get the sense this is a big-time breath of fresh air, the new coaching staff. One of the things that surprised me, and we'll hear it from Chris Bubich, was as much as we talk about all the different analytics things that they're doing now and new access to information, the two things that I heard a lot was these coaches do a good job of simplifying things, which would almost seem like the opposite, right, with all that information at their disposal. So they were that was one of the things. These coaches do a really good job of simplifying things, and the other thing is, these coaches let us be ourselves. They're not micromanaging us in terms of what we decide we think is best for us to pitch. They'll give us the tools. They'll help us with what we want, but they're kind of leaving us alone and letting us do our thing. And apparently, a couple of the players I talked to didn't really feel like that was the case as much last year. So those are two of the big takeaways.
With Matheny and Cal Eldred?
Yeah, yeah. So freedom and simplicity, those seem to be two of the things that these players are really enjoying.
They don't come out and say the names, but it seems like different people in this organization have no problem letting you know what was wrong last year, or throwing Mike Matheny and Cal Eldred under the bus instead of just like, new regime, let's focus on what we're doing. I mean, I hear a lot. I hear that a lot.
Well, I didn't have anybody call either of those guys out that I talked to.
Who would they have been talking about?
Well, I think, that if they're talking about how different things are now, then they're pointing out how they were in the past. And you get a little wink almost, you know what I mean? Like, guys will look at you and they'll kind of smile and think for a second and then say, well, it's a little different than last year. You know, things like that. So, we'll see how it goes after they've been together for a while. They haven't lost any games yet together. So, it's always nice to have a new voice and a new face and all that when you've been losing. But right now, I get the strong sense that the vast majority of people in that clubhouse are very happy with the new coaching staff.
It's just more damning of the decision to allow Eldred and maybe even Matheny hang around last year.
Yeah. Yep.
And that's probably why, wouldn't you think, that's probably one of the reasons why Dayton Moore's not there anymore.
Yes.
Wouldn't that have been his call?
Yes.
Bad call?
Yes.
So.
And, You don't like that call. I don't like that call.
not a very good call.
I think the fact that you're going to see Dr. Daniel Mack out there in the public a little bit more
right.
is an indication that maybe the new regime is embracing that part of the game a little bit more as well. That's another thing that stands out to me. I mean, he was there in the dugout, hanging out, talking to people.
Yeah, I hadn't seen that before.
And I'm not there every day like I used to be, but I don't remember seeing that before.
What do you think Dayton thinks of all this from afar? Because you know he still cares. You know he's still invested.
Well, I'm sure that hurts a little bit. You know?
You think Daniel Mack hurts him? Like that part of it?
No. Or I mean, what? Look, I've had enough conversations with Dayton for him to... Hey, we have an analytics department. You know, we pay attention to that stuff. People act like we don't. We do. We have an analytics department. You know? But it's...
The Mike Matheny, Cal Eldred part hurts him?
Probably.
Like, what do you think bothers him the most about the champ? That's a good question. You know Dayton Moore. I'm just curious because you know he does. Hey, he helped this town win a World Series championship, right? Mm-hmm. And that's always what he'll be remembered for first. But he could be vindictive sometimes. He could be, I don't know, what's the word I'm looking for? Petty? Like if you criticized him, he'd remember.
Yeah. Yep.
He knew what was being said.
Yes.
Right? He cared.
Yeah. Yeah, that's all
that's
fair.
That's not bad. Some people care what other people say and will not let that go, and other people just don't give a crap either way.
Right. No, he definitely cared. I mean, look, Dayton Moore's a passionate guy. You know, and strong-willed and opinionated and feisty. You know, he really could be...
There's another one. Feisty. That's
feisty,
a good one.
You know? Feisty. Oh, you don't... You got something bad to say about me? Well, you know.
At times defensive.
For certain. Yeah.
For sure.
I don't know. For sure. Right. I was for sure. For certain. Definitely. Most definitely. I mean, look, I'm sure that this...
I'm just curious what he doesn't like the most or what bothers him the most.
I haven't spent a lot of time thinking about it from that standpoint, but I'm sure a lot of it.
Well, give me something like, because you've been out there more than anyone that I talked to, like in the past and then the recent past and then you know, yesterday. Like, give me something that you saw or something that's happened. Like, this would never happen to Dayton Moore.
Oh, boy.
Or there's this Dayton Moore... Like maybe Daniel Mack in the dugout? I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if that... I never saw that under Dayton Moore. I mean, that doesn't mean it never happened, but I didn't see it before. And remember when we talked to him yesterday, he said that the analytics department got sent down to Arizona to actually meet face-to-face with everybody and spend some time. And I believe he said they hadn't done that before. You know? I think... They went to arbitration with the player.
There you go. There's one.
I mean, they traded Adalberto Mondesi.
That never happened.
I mean,
by the way, not trying to be funny. I'm just telling you what's going on because he's with the Red Sox. Maybe you haven't kept up. He was placed on the 60-day DL. So
he hasn't taken a swing.
He's not ready to roll. What's that face? It's not mean. I'm just telling you what the...
No, I didn't realize that he was on the...
Or they were gonna. He didn't play at all.
60 days?
Yeah, he hadn't played it. He hadn't played at all for him yet.
This feels like old times now. Googling Adalberto Mondesi to find out what his injury is.
He's still
is.
Coming back from the ACL, I think.
Yeah.
When did he tear it? Beginning of last
long
year,
long time
right?
ago.
It's like well over a year ago.
Yeah. It's not, you know, the... It ain't going well.
So, I guess, I've given you a small list of the things that are totally different,
right.
You know, than they used to be.
What about the vibe? That's something you really can't explain, but being out there, was any different vibe? Was it more relaxed?
The vibe is
less conservative, like, you know.
Yeah, the vibe's totally different. Now, again, I don't want to overstate it because it's the day before opening day. Everybody's in a good mood. Everybody's having a good time. But I mean,
but there's so many differences. It's a new GM. Yeah. It's a new manager. A new pitching coach. New philosophies. That's a lot of new stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I just get the sense that
I didn't say better vibe. But it's a different vibe.
It's a better vibe.
Oh, is it?
I'll say it. I mean, the vibe was terrible last year. Now, I'm not saying that was all Dayton Moore's fault. They were a terrible team. For one thing, and it's hard to have a great vibe when you're losing 97 games.
Red Sox baseball officer Chaim Bloom told reporters Tuesday that there's still no timetable for Mondesi to return.
I swear he tore that thing like April last year. It's been like over a year. Mm-hmm. Anyway, it's shocking, isn't it?
What do you want me to do?
The vibe is definitely better, but it's they haven't lost any games yet. I mean, we'll check in June. We'll see how they're doing. But I've said this before. I mean, some of the leaders that were on the team, I don't think Witt had a great...
April 26th is when he left the game with knee discomfort.
11 months ago. ACLs used to take a full year, you know, so...
You don't know the extent.
I don't. You're right.
Did you... operate on him?
Nope.
Okay, then. Every knee surgery is different.
That's right.
So.
He no longer has the University of Kansas
health
taking
system,
care of him.
Yeah, right. They'd have had him back out there in 6 months.
Him?
Yeah.
They'd have had him back in 6 months.
Yes.
Okay.
Those are my people over there.
Hey, look, they're also not, I mean, they kind of are miracle workers, really.
Let me tell you something. Dr. Key is a miracle worker. Dr. McCasey Smith and my back surgeon, Dr. Joshua Bunch. Those are miracle workers, and you'll say nothing less.
But do you understand the level of miracle we're talking about to get Mondesi back on the field in 6 months?
I'm like the regular person Mondesi when it comes to getting hurt. So, yes. I'm fat, out of shape Mondesi. Just getting hurt. Living life. Is this guy hurt again? Yes, I am. Yes, I am.
It's a different body part every time, too.
Right. Well, let's talk surgery. Okay.
No, but the vibe, the vibe's different. I mean, it's different for a lot of reasons. The GM's different. The coaching staff's different. The players are, you know, like I said, Witt, I think he had just had it with the place by the end. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think he was already kind of a cranky guy anyway, but
he never appeared to really enjoy any place he was at.
Right.
Or anything he was experiencing. And look, he's a red ass. That's all right,
though. And he didn't love, they were always jerking him around in terms of what part of the field they wanted to play him in. You know, all that stuff. I'm not saying it's all Witt's fault, but that's not like your... Hey, guys, this place is awesome. You all ought to love it.
He wanted to play one position, and that didn't happen. He wanted to win, and that didn't happen.
Yeah.
There's things that he wanted.
He wanted to be on the team. He should have been on the team in 15. That didn't happen, you know?
Minus he was.
You think it was going to be peaches and roses all year?
So it's like you hear Quatrero talking there about, like, Michael Massey's almost just happy to be here. You know, a lot of these guys are happy to be here because they – and now, look, that doesn't mean they're going to go win. I'm not saying that, but I do. The vibe is definitely much better right now than it was last year.
There it is. Better vibes from the Royals, says Nate Bucati. Back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. I'll just say my piece. I mean, I've pretty much gotten everything I wanted as far as personnel changes with this team. I mean, I've wanted J.J. Bacolo to be the GM, and my fear was always that before that opening happened, he would get hired by a different organization as their GM. And, you know, when he'd be up for other jobs, I'd because I like him, I'd root for him. I'm not going to root for somebody I like not to get a job that they want or a promotion. But, you know, down deep, I'd be, I hope he stays with the Royals. You know, when Dayton decides to hang it up, I hope J.J.'s still here to get the keys to the car. And so I'm super excited about JJ Piccolo being the new GM. And I was I know that we've talked about the Royals not making any huge trades or huge free agent signings that are gonna knock your socks off, but I was impressed that, you know, JJ did all these common sense things that we've all wondered, like, why don't they just cut Beto Mondesi? Come on. That's enough. For the team and the player. Come on, let's go. Why aren't they letting Cal Eldred go? Come on. It's clearly a problem. Why aren't they doing this? Why aren't they doing that? And it seems like, you know, they stepped in and he stepped in with that regime and did a lot of the things that fans wanted done over the past couple of years. Of the names that were out there, of the candidates, I mean, you know, Nate, as a listener to this show, sometimes you heard me say that the guy that I wanted out of that list was Matt Quatrero. Yeah, that's who I was rooting for to get the job. And I know that Mike Boddicker will dry heave at my comment here, but you know, I want some of that secret sauce from Tampa. Does he know how to make the sausage? Come on over here, show us. You know, and I know, oh, Tampa, where's Tampa's world championship? Well, I like the way Tampa goes about their business. I like the product they put on the field. I like to watch them play. And I like the fact that they can spit in the wind and go up against the New York Yankees and the Boston Red Sox on a yearly basis. And not just have to bow down. Well, you know, we can't get past the Yankees or the Red Sox. Oh, yeah, they can. And they have. And so that excites me. You know, the fact that he was with the Guardians, too, that excites me. There's nothing wrong with recognizing when another organization does something well and try to emulate that the best way you can. Now you got to put your own spin on it. You can't copy everything, but that had me excited because that put him at the top of my list. And so, you know, and other players, we don't need to run down to who are the other players that we would question, like, why? There's one specific.
Gosh, O'Hearn?
Yeah.
I mean
that sounds insignificant.
Yeah.
Because Ryan O'Hearn, having him on the team is never going to make him or break him, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it got to the point, like, why? Just why?
Yeah.
And they let him go, and they brought him back and go, no, what's going on here? But then they let him go again. And so just like little, like, common sense moves, like, okay, all right, okay. You feel a little bit more confident. And again, Dayton Moore won a championship. Dayton Moore helped get that team to two World Series. But there were a lot of bad years in there, too. And it seemed like it was time. There was time for a change, right?
Yeah.
It was evident. And so, yeah, I'm excited. You know how much I love Michael Massey. I can't wait to watch him. Vinny Pasquantino, I love. Everyone loves Bobby Witt Jr. I just think, like, Vinny Pasquantino can, I don't know. I mean, Joey Votto would be the ceiling.
Well, that'd be a pretty good
right,
ceiling.
Right, right. I mean, that's like when it's opening day, we can talk about, you know, I was going to say a poor man's Joey Votto, but what would that be? Joey Votto's a stud.
Yeah.
All right. I think Vinny can be that kind of guy. I mean, like, they've done everything I really wanted them to do, except maybe, like, I know, and I knew it was a long shot, I knew what was going to happen, but, you know, I want Michael Garcia on the team. I think he's going to be on the team sooner than later. I'm not too excited about going through the Hunter Dozier experience, but I know they got to. They got to try to allow him to build some trade value, so see if they can flip him or give him one last chance because of the money he's making. And there's no obvious choice that he's standing in the way of as far as third base. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's almost out of necessity. There's no guy that you could pound on the team. No, this guy should be playing third base. And so he benefits from that. You know, I'd still rather see Michael Garcia, But I'm glad that Garcia, they're going to give him some reps at center field down at AAA to give him an opportunity, you know, to make the team in a different way. The more you can do, right? So I'm excited about a lot of different things. It wasn't a blockbuster of an offseason, but there's a lot of reasons to be optimistic. Then you get to the pitching, and I don't know. So,
well, you know, when you say common sense, I love that's the perfect phrase, because to me, that's the thing about this offseason as well. I don't think it would have been common sense for them to go out and sign a couple of big time free agents. They're not. They lost. What did they lose? 97 last year. I think they lost 97 games. This team's not ready to compete for a championship right now, and I think that it's better off. And one of the common sense things that I thought was frustrating about the past few years was, you talk about O'Hearn, veteran players that are not part of the future stealing at bats from young players that we need to learn about. If you're going to lose 97 games, give those at bats to the young player so we can see them. So first of all, they can develop. And second of all, so you can start to decide whether or not that young player is one of the solutions, or if we, hey, you know what, we still need a second baseman because this guy doesn't cut it, or whatever. And that's another reason last year feels like a lost year.
And I know they got to play because they're on the bench, but I won't be excited if Jackie Bradley Jr., Matt Duffy, and Hunter Dozier get a,
yeah,
the lion's share of at-bats, because I know Dozier's going to, right? But, I want to see Nate Eaton get at-bats.
Yeah.
Leave Kyle Isbell out there. Argue about where he belongs, but MJ Melendez needs to be in the lineup.
Right. And yeah, and I think that those guys will be. I can understand a little bit trying to push the Dozier rock uphill to see if you can build some value and trade him. But
Duffy, well, Bradley just got to be Duff.
Yeah, yeah.
And I want Nate Eaton in the lineup a lot. Figure out what you got in him before Drew Waters gets back. We'll take a break. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38 The Spot. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you so much for joining us. It's opening day, March 30th, 2023. Let's go. We're going to hear from, where'd you get that version at? That's a version that Richie did for,
I have my ways.
For, Nate Bucati, Bill Brandmeier, and Sharewaves. Remember that special you did when you were his co-host?
I do.
Buster Olney's going to be on the show. Rex Hudler's going to be on the show. Gary Lezak will give you the opening day forecast. Gary Dieter and Anthony Sherman. I cannot wait till Sherman gets here and tell. And we're going to have Nate tell Anthony Sherman to his face that he ain't no blue blood. That's what we're going to do today.
I don't remember ever saying that Connecticut's not a blue blood.
Said they're not because they're not consistent enough.
You asked me if I would take their last 20 years or KU's.
You're going to look at Anthony Sherman and you're going to tell him, you ain't no blue blood, trophy or not, sucker.
Sherm's very on edge right now. I listened to some of their show the other night.
No.
He's very on edge about this special team stuff.
Listen to me. All right?
Yep.
You lean into what you are.
Arrogant KU fan.
An arrogant, elitist KU fan.
All right.
And you are going to speak to a man that played his collegiate football at UConn, that cares about UConn. Right. Find me another one around here.
Right.
Anybody? No. Nope. And just tell them, hey, look, I'd like to have you in the club, but you're not allowed.
Right. Need a little more history.
Yeah.
A little more consistency.
That's right. Tell them, say, if I can see some more consistency out of you over the next decade, we'll talk again.
Yeah. Talk to me if you make it 10 years in a row in the tournament.
Are you looking forward to this?
Yeah, you guys, you can say they won a national title and they fell off for 5 years. It's like, what happened?
Yeah, where were you?
Right.
Losing we'll, in the round of 64.
And we'll hear what he has to say about the value of perhaps winning five championships in 24 years. Hey, we keep saying all this stuff, and then watch, UConn's going to lose.
Well, they certainly could. There's been a couple upsets in this tournament. I don't know if you've been following it.
Not really. I'm rooting for FAU.
Yeah, the Owls.
Yeah.
Nice set of Hooters you got there.
Did you see that Kim English played one of his players one-on-one for the transfer portal?
That's it.
He beat him.
So that kid can't transfer now, huh?
Well, I don't know if he's going to hold him to that deal, but he beat him one-on-one. And then someone suggested, hey, Kimmy, if you can beat your player, maybe you want him in the transfer portal. Maybe that's a sign. Hmm?
Kimmy was an NBA player, man. I mean, that.
You see my guy that I told you I like now, my basketball reporter? My basketball, he had a lengthy interview with Kim English.
Yeah,
have you put a request in for this man yet?
Oh, I've slid in the DMs
there we
twice.
Go. Yeah. That's all I wanted to hear. All right, Nate, you talked to some people out of Kauffman Stadium. What do you got for us?
Well, who do you want to hear from first? You tell me. You want to hear from Michael Massey, Chris Bubich, or Nate Eaton?
I want to hear from Nate Eaton because I'm trying to decide whether or not to freeze him by noon on Friday, and so I need to hear what he has to say about his role on the team.
All right, well, we started off by just talking about opening day in general.
Hey, Nate, first of all, I'd just like to get everybody's thoughts on what opening day is like. You know, what is maybe the part of opening day that you enjoy the most?
I guess it's just the start of the new season and kind of taking everything you worked in all offseason during spring training and it all coming forward and getting it put towards the season.
I know Major League Baseball opening day takes on a little bit of a different thing because there's so much pomp and circumstance. You know, it's the stadium sold out, everybody's going crazy. As a baseball player, do you like that part of it, or do you kind of like to get into the grind of the everyday type, you know, part of the season?
I mean, I like it personally. Like the fans, kind of, they make all this happen. And I mean, during COVID, obviously, like no fans were there, and even I wasn't there. I was just watching. You could tell that the game was different with no fans out there. So just having everybody out there, and especially during opening week when a lot more fans are getting out there trying to see everything, just having many people out there and all behind you and wanting you to do well, it's awesome.
I think the fans got to see your versatility last year and how you seemed to be able to kind of fit in a lot of different positions on the field and play good defense and all that. With the new coaching staff here, they seem to be pretty open to moving pieces around from day to day as well. How excited are you for that opportunity with this new coaching staff?
I love it. I've said it plenty of times. I've always been that kind of guy that bounces around and plays all different positions. And if it helps the team in any way, me playing infield or outfield or what I had to do that day, or if it's just getting in and doing a pinch run if I need to steal or something, just being able to do whatever I can to help the team, it's awesome. And they're open to it. And I feel like it's going to be a lot similar and playing infield and outfield this year.
We saw a lot, those of us that have been here in Kansas City, of reports about the vibe and training camp down in Surprise being just like really upbeat this year. How would you describe the way spring training went just overall for people that were in Kansas City and didn't get to be a part of it?
Just like everyone's saying, it was upbeat. Everybody had a good, I guess, attitude coming to the field every day, excited. I mean, yeah, there's a lot of new faces, but just being able to meet those guys and then being able to bond so quickly and just kind of bring that energy all around from the locker room to the game, and it's just awesome. It was a good time.
Awesome vibe.
Why don't you ask him if I should freeze him or not?
Why you didn't tell me ahead of time that
I only have nine spots.
Yeah.
This is very, very difficult. Cause I just, how many, you tell me, how many bats is he going to get a week? How many games is he going to play a week? Give me an idea what his role is.
My guess.
Golly.
Anything I say would be a guess. I guess he'd play 3-4 days a week.
He's got such upside in the stolen base category,
yeah.
So I'm trying to tell you. He's a very exciting player.
I want
him on this team.
I could see him coming into a lot of games, even if he doesn't start, right? So maybe he plays more like 5-6 games a week, but in terms of at-bats or plate appearances, I don't know.
What's his best position?
Man, I think he looks good in the outfield.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he looks good at third base. I like him in general.
All right.
Do you want to continue to hear about the vibe?
Yeah,
sure. A lot of vibe talk. Good vibes. The old Beach Boys song, you know, good vibrations.
Right.
Here, let's hear from J.J. Piccolo. He was asked about the vibe coming out of Arizona.
The vibe was good. I mean, no question. But I think we knew that going into spring training. I mean, spring training was the start of putting uniforms on and watching guys get on the field. But there were a lot of meetings prior to getting to surprise that you could feel it on Zoom meetings. We didn't have too many in-person meetings, but a lot of Zoom meetings. And we felt that even going through the interview process, whether it was Q or Brian Sweeney, Zach Bove, Mitch Stetter, Jose Agassiz, all these new coaches we have. But I think what I noticed from a front office perspective, there was an openness, a collaboration that was taking place. Players enjoyed it. There was really good back and forth. And the key to that is, whether it's Q or Brian, they're asking people, what do you think? What do you think as a player? What do you think about your career? Where do you want to go? What do you think you need to do? Last night on the plane, we were talking about different lineups, potential lineups. And Q's, I said, look, I don't want to get involved in lineups. He said, yeah, but I want to hear what you have to think, you know, what you have to say. So that creates that vibe.
There's J.J. Piccolo, Royals general manager, on the vibes. Good vibes. We don't want no bad vibes on opening day.
Nope.
Back after this on WHB. It was the summer of 69. Jody got married, you know that?
But Jimmy was the quitter.
Now, Jody's divorced. And they're in a custody battle.
Poor guy.
I know, right?
Life happens fast.
Oh. Let's hear more interviews that Nate Buchady conducted out at Kauffman Stadium yesterday in anticipation of opening day, which takes place today. Royals, Twins at Kauffman Stadium. Baseball's back, you son of a gun.
Did you, do you have Michael Massey on your Bada Bings team?
Sure I do.
I thought you did.
What kind of question is that?
I told him you did.
I claimed him. I got him at $10. Wonderful bargain.
Marco and I went ourselves up and introduced ourselves. And
he was on the show.
Yeah.
Remember, I told him.
And I reminded him that he'd been on the show with us, and he pretended to remember.
Right.
He was very nice. Said, my co-host Steven has you on his Roto team.
Right.
So I said, oh, that's good. So anyways, here it was, me talking with Michael Massey.
First of all, I'd just like to get your thoughts on opening day. Like, what's going through your mind the day before what is always such a huge day in Major League Baseball?
Yeah, I mean, it's everything, man. It's excitement, it's nerves, it's, you know, anxiousness, ready to get out there for a new season, and just excited. Like, you know, I'm always I don't like putting expectations out there. I kind of like to show up and prepare the way that I always do and try to do things that make me successful, and, you know, wherever I fall is where I fall, and where we fall as a team is where we fall as a team. But if we can go out there and prepare the way we want to prepare, there's really nothing left to look at in the mirror, so you can live with the results.
Do you have any big opening day memories as a kid or anything like that?
Yeah, I mean, not necessarily going to any games, but I remember always come, like, racing home from school. I grew up a White Sox fan, so I'd always race home from school and try to catch the 7th, 8th, and 9th inning of the White Sox game. So, it always sticks out in my head, those 305 starts. I fortunately never got to go to one, but, I remember Jim Thome hit a big home run one of the opening days I was watching. So, just excited to be out there and cool to be a part of it.
So, do you have a lot of family that's going to be in Kauffman Stadium on opening day this year?
Yeah, I'll have my mom and dad, and then my sister and my girlfriend will be here. So, super, super excited.
Yeah, I'm assuming you're sharing that with your dad, kind of a special deal?
Yeah, no, he's been with me me through the whole thing, man. I remember going to travel tournaments and driving around the country and coached me growing up. So, yeah, just to hear your name called and go out there and have your family there and be able to look up in a sold-out crowd and look up and just kind of know the journey that we all went through as a family. So, really, really excited for it.
How would you describe Coach Q? You know, like, we're all getting to know him in Kansas City, and this is going to be his first day as manager. You've been around him all spring training. Now, how would you describe him?
Mild manner, you know, like, he's just super calm. Same guy, it seems like, a lot, and in different situations. And, you know, I think that's really important when you talk about the grind of a season and 162 games, ups and downs. It's imperative, I think, as a baseball player to kind of be able to ride those with the same level mind. So that's something that I really noticed from his coaching staff, is it's not an up and down roller coaster. They're going to be the same guys, you know, every day. So that's it's nice to know as a player, you know what you're getting.
So we're also going to be walking into a new world where there's no shifts. The bases are going to be a little bit bigger. It's supposed to be helping guys to put the ball in play and guys that can run. Are you excited to play this version of it now that you've had a chance to kind of work with it in spring training?
Yeah, I think it'll be, I don't see how it's going to hurt a left-handed hitter, you know, being able to take that extra defender out of that side of the field is – can only see that helping. So I'm excited for it on offense. On defense, it's going to put a little bit more responsibility on me at second base to cover some more ground, which we prepared for in spring training. So I feel good about that, feel ready to go, and just excited.
Are you good with the pitch clock? You feel like you got the timing in your head now, knowing when you got to get back in the box? All that?
Yeah, I've never been a big, like, step out guy even before the pitch clock, so personally I haven't really noticed a huge difference. I always kind of like to keep that one foot in and get ready to go. Some of these boxes are so hard sometimes to dig in. It's like, once I get my footing, I like kind of staying there. So, I like the pitch clock.
Combined over AA and AAA, his slash line was .312, .371, .532, with 28 doubles, 16 homers, 77 ribbies, 13 steals. And then he came up for 194 plate appearances. Struggled somewhat, showed a little bit of power. But you'd like to think that now that he's got his feet wet, got that cup of coffee, he can come out and show that he's more along the lines of what we saw, the type of hitter of what we saw at AA and AAA.
You know, this might be plain as day news to the people that follow the statistical stuff closer than I do. But Lebo and I were talking to Dr. Daniel Mack yesterday in the dugout.
Take credit for any more of my questions?
About the shift? Yeah, and I did. I asked him some other great questions that you wouldn't have thought of.
Figures.
But it was actually kind of Lebo started talking about the numbers they have on the shifting. And he said, really, that the numbers, shifting on right-handed batters is much more difficult to figure out than shifting on left-handed batters. Like, shifting on left-handed batters works really, really well. Not so well on right-handed batters, which means since they can't shift anymore, left-handed batters will benefit more than right-handed batters. So watch for your left-handed batters. That's your tip right there, Stephen.
Mm-hmm.
Look for them to have a big jump up in their numbers this year because of the ban of the shift.
We'll be right back after this on WHB.